1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we're going to read several verses there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we do desire your prayers this morning. We're running a little slim today. It's spring break, so school's out, and got some other things, a big wrestling tournament. We have several wrestlers that come, and so do remember them in your prayers today, but that's going on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we are going to read verse number 9 down through verse number 17, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I am thankful to be here and thankful for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we have many objects of prayer, people that are sick, people that are recovering from surgery, people that are traveling. Lord, you know all about what's going on in our little circle today, our church. And so, Lord, we pray for each object, each hand that was lifted up, maybe things that were unspoken but still maybe have a heavy heart about. We pray for the lost. We pray for you to bless this morning. I pray you'd help us. Help me as I stand to preach this morning. I pray to be led by your Holy Spirit, and I pray that the Word of God would speak to our hearts. Help me to just preach what you've laid on my heart and say the things you want me to. And Lord, just lead, guide, and direct this morning. We look for you to meet with us and help us, and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, I'm going to go back to verse number 17. And just to get started today, I want to read that verse. Maybe you've noticed this verse before. I had never really noticed what it was saying. I mean, I've read it lots of times down through the years, but look what the Bible says. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." And I want you to pay particular attention to the last two words in verse number 17, where it says, "every church." In every church. And that's the title of the message this morning. What I want to preach on are some things that ought to be found or are found in every church. And we'll look at this passage of Scripture this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now, the Apostle Paul was what we would call a church planting missionary. What I mean by that, if you study about the life of the Apostle Paul, and we talk a lot of times about his missionary travels, and you read in the book of Acts and you see where all he went and all of those things, but you'll notice this: everywhere he went, he established churches. Every place, every missionary journey, he went back to churches. He established other churches. The fruit of his labor resulted in churches.
you study the book of Acts, you'll find out that it is really about the local churches that the Apostle Paul and the other apostles went out and they established. The Bible said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." It did not take long for there to be churches. You know, we think about the day of Pentecost and what happened there in Jerusalem and all the people that got saved from that, but it didn't take long. There were churches, multiple churches, churches all over the place. We studied, begin studying this morning in the book of Revelation, and you study there what we're going to be looking at, the seven churches of Asia Minor. It didn't take long for word to spread and the gospel to go out, and there were many, many churches. The rest of the New Testament from the book of Acts, well, you get to the book of Romans, all the way to the book of Revelation is about churches. Most of the letters that we read about in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, was a letter to the church at Corinth. We're studying on Wednesday night out of the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. In Philippians, the church at Philippi. Ephesians, there was a church at Ephesus. And 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus is a letter to pastors of churches. So the New Testament is about the local church and the establishment of the many, many churches throughout the time, throughout the day. Now, that in this day and time in which we live, have you noticed in the past several years, many churches have dropped the name church? You know, the church is not, for whatever reasons there are, Christian people I'm talking about, want to disassociate from the church. They have wrong thoughts and wrong feelings about the church, but no matter what society or no matter what even Christian people think about the church is not going to go away. If you study the Bible, you cannot come to the conclusion anywhere that we ought to do away with churches or the church. It is impossible for the church to go away. You say, "Preacher, how come you say that?" It does. And some people think, well, it's not working out. And you know, a lot of the thinking behind that is more, way more advertising than it is what the Bible says, but the church is never going to go away. Jesus, the first time the word church is mentioned in the Bible, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He was not talking about building a church on Peter, but he was talking about building a church himself, on himself. And he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." The church cannot go away because of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study other places in the Bible, you find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. What he loves is not going to go away. He gave himself for it. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says that the church of God was purchased with his own blood. Not going to go away. It's not intended to go away. What we are interested this morning, what I'm thinking about when we're talking about every church as the Lord Jesus Christ intended every church to be, is a Bible church. I'm not talking about a man-made church. There's a lot of man-made things out here. I'm not talking about a religious organization. There's a lot of that in the world. I'm not talking about what we call in our day and time parachurch ministries. That would be ministries that say, "Well, we're a Christian ministry, but we're not a church." I'm not talking about that. Jesus didn't say anything about that. Jesus was interested in the church. The apostles in their ministry, the Apostle Paul, was interested in the church, talked about the church. Church and churches are mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. It's mentioned quite a lot. The church is not going to go anywhere, but we're interested in a Bible church, a Bible-believing church. The churches in the Bible were local churches. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean there was a church at Jerusalem, and there were churches in the area of Galatia, and there was a church at Philadelphia, and there's a, just like today, there's a church in this community. We are a local, visible church. It's where we meet together, where we gather together. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what the Apostle Paul intended every church to be. Notice what Paul said. He talked about everywhere, as I teach, everywhere in every church. We're going to come back to that. I want to show you quickly this morning three things. Number one, I want to deal with something. I'm going to get the negative thing out of the way. First of all, what we find sadly in every church is something I want to call this morning church hurt. Say, church hurt, that's odd. Well, we're going to see in chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul was actually talking about church hurt. Being hurt in church. What we're talking about by that is the ugly fact that many people are hurt in church. I'm not talking about they fell going down the steps because there was ice outside. I'm talking about they were hurt in church by somebody or by something that went on. And I've pastored now a long time. This is the third church I've pastored. And I have heard a lot of stories down through the years about people that have been hurt in church. It might be that they were hurt by a pastor. I just can't stand to hear somebody talk about a pastor. And a lot of times, many times, they'll talk about him being, they'll use it in the same word as a dictator. God never called a man to be a dictator over a church. Dictators are bad things. They're bad things. I don't know of anybody that thinks a dictator is a good thing. Now, they may not say it, but it's because they're afraid of their life. But a dictator is a bad thing. But a lot of times people say, well, I was hurt in church. There was a pastor and something went on. I've talked to people and actually counseled with people down through the years, and maybe a youth leader done something really dumb they shouldn't have done, unwise. They were hurt by that. I've talked to people that were hurt by disputes that went on in church, you know, and sometimes it can go back a generation or two. But it usually goes along something like this. Well, you'll talk to somebody and say, maybe you invite somebody to church, and it starts out like this. They'll say, well, I used to go, but, and they explain, I was hurt. I was hurt in church, and a lot of people will never go back. Because of a bad experience that they have had in church. And so how do we respond to that? And, you know, we could say, well, you know, that's just life. Wherever there are people, there's going to be hurt. Is that not right? You know, a lot of people are hurt in school. But nobody wants to get rid of schools, do they? I was hurt in school. They used to paddle back then, you know. I was hurt in school. I'll tell you a quick little story and I'll move on. When I was in the first grade, I don't know what I was doing, but I got in trouble. And the teacher made me come up in front of the whole class and made me paddle myself. In front of the class, she had a little paddle, and I had to stand up there in front of everybody and paddle myself. And I remember her sitting behind her desk, and I remember she said, "Harder." I wasn't doing it hard enough. You talk about a humiliating experience. You know, a lot of people talk about being scarred. Well, if I talked about being scarred, I would say, that scarred me. That hurt me. I was shy. My goodness, that killed me. Killed me.
But I went on for the rest of the time. I went the rest of the 12 years. I didn't get to go to kindergarten, and I look back now and I'm glad. A lot of people are hurt on the job. Nobody just says, well, I'm going to quit going to the job. You know, things, people do you wrong on the job. People don't treat you right, or get what you've worked for. There's a lot of things. You can get hurt on the job by people. You can get hurt in your neighborhood. Neighbors all the time have disputes. You know, he knocked down my fence, or that tree's on my land, or whatever the case might be. People have problems in the neighborhoods, you know, dogs, children running around, whatever the case might be, but nobody wants to quit living in a house. You can be a member of the
Rotary Club or the Civitan or some civic organization that does good, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and people get hurt in all kinds of things. Here's the thing. Wherever you find people, you're going to find that people get hurt. But here's the thing about being hurt in church is, of all the places in all the world that it shouldn't happen, it shouldn't happen in church. And that's what makes it so much worse. Makes it worse to be hurt in church because that's the place it should never ever happen. So we think about this. What should we do? Now, let's look back at some of these verses. Most of the time I've already read some more verses by now. But Paul is talking about being hurt, not always by the world, but sometimes by the brethren. Look what he said in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul had been hurt by people in church. Paul had been hurt by people that he was in ministry with. He talks about in chapter 3, false brethren. Now there's false brethren in church. There are hurtful things in church. What do we do about it? Here, as I begin to study and think about this, I notice this. As you study the New Testament, no one is hurt in church more than the pastors were. They suffered more than anybody else. You think about in the and it transcends from the Old Testament into the New Testament. In the Old Testament, who suffered the most? The prophets. The Apostle Paul went to the Galatians and he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They begin to attack Paul. Paul preached the gospel to them. They were saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He established churches there, and then he comes along and he says, what, am I now your enemy? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? I read Jeremiah recently. It's a wonder anybody ever submitted to become a prophet. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to call you, I'm going to send you, but they're not going to listen to you. Then I get to the end of the book of Jeremiah, and what do? They throw him in prison and feed him rotten bread and dirty water. God's people. God's people. Who's treated worse in church than anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ? You think we ever treat him wrong? You think we ever come in and we don't think a thing about him? He's the one we come to worship. You think anybody's treated worse than the Holy Spirit? You know, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto redemption. But many, many times we come to church and we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Whether he's dealing with our heart and we sit there hard-hearted in sin, maybe he touches our heart to seek forgiveness from a brother some way. We tell the Lord, no, we're not going to do that. Maybe the Lord touches your heart and shows you how much he's blessed you and that you ought to stand up and testify and tell everybody, and we say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. Nobody is treated worse in the church than the Lord. But I read something that said this. Nobody's treated worse than the Lord, but he still shows up. Now that's not excusing anything. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. But the Apostle Paul didn't cast off the Corinthians or the Galatians. He kept on, and he kept on. If you've been hurt in church, it's because there's people in church. But it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord's intention. He has an intention in every church. Now, there is church hurt. That's what Paul was writing about. He had been hurt. He had been hurt by the Corinthians and many others. But look in verse number 17. There is church help. There's church help. Church ought to be a place where we get some help. And the Bible said in verse number 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Now there's a lot of things in that verse. But of course the Apostle Paul is away. He's writing a letter to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth has a lot of problems, and Paul sends Timothy to help them. Paul said, "I can't come right now, but I'm sending Timothy." I like what it says in verse number 17. He is faithful in the Lord. He's going to help them. He's going to do some things in verse number 17. He is going to bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, the Apostle Paul, if you study about his ministry, he was interested in helping every church. That's what he said. He taught these same things in every church, everywhere is what he said. And he said, "I'm going to send Timothy to help you." Now, of all the churches in the New Testament, the church at Corinth definitely needed help. You study about, and I'm not going to go all into it today, but some things you find about the church at Corinth, they were carnal, which means they were babes in Christ. That's one of the things he said to them. Chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He didn't say, "Now, y'all treated me bad, you're not even saved." But he said, "I'll tell you what, you're carnal. You're babes in Christ." They were carnal. They were confused. There was all kinds of confusion in the church at Corinth. If you study about in chapter 10 and chapter number 11, they were having the Lord's Supper. And Paul, in this same letter, he writes to him, he said, "You're calling this the Lord's Supper, but you're not even having the Lord's Supper." They're confused about a lot of things. They were charismatic. In this sense, they were more concerned about the gifts than they were the giver. Chapter 12, 13 and 14, he deals with that. They were corrupt. Look at chapter 5, verse number 1. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Boy, you talk about a mess. They had a mess. And everybody knew it. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." Everybody knows it. Everybody in the church, everybody in the community. But Paul didn't say, "Y'all just need to close the doors and shut the thing down. There's no hope for you." Paul said, "I'm going to send Timothy to help you." Paul is interested in helping every church. We ought to be interested in helping every church. I don't want to abandon the church in this day and time. I do want to help the church. I want to help our church. I want to help other churches. I'm for churches. It would help us in this day and time to understand what a church is. He talks about a church in verse number 17. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about, well, what even is a church? A church, in its most simple form, it means an assembly, a called out assembly. That's what we are this morning. The church is not the building. The church is not the address. The church is not the pews and the pulpit and all of that stuff. The church is the people. And the church is a unique people, a peculiar people, according to 1 Peter. He said, "You're a peculiar people." That doesn't mean, well, I know we're all sort of odd in our own ways, but it means unique. A church is a group of people that have been, number one, saved by the grace of God. Number one, saved, born again, converted, come to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the children of God, saved by the grace of God. But in the church, in the New Testament, a church is also a group of baptized believers. They were saved, they were baptized, scripturally baptized, all the way under. Represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved, baptized, what else does a church do? A church carries out the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is what we ought to be interested in. We are a local group of believers. We've been saved. We've all been baptized the same way. We're all interested in getting the gospel out into all the world. A church should be a place where we come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Both those things are equally important. John 4 and 24, the Lord Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So a very basic, simple definition of a church, that's what a church is, and that's what a church is supposed to do. Brother Mike was teaching in Sunday school, and he was talking about light, the candlesticks. He said, we're to be light. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. We are a called out assembly. It's very important. Paul told Timothy, he was talking to him in 1 Timothy 3:15 about the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Man, that's important. The pillar and ground of the truth. That word pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, that is the columns that hold a building up. We ought to be occupied with the truth. The church is occupied with the truth. And I've said this many times, all of our ministry ought to revolve around the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That'd help us as a church if we would realize that. Look what the Bible said in verse 17. He said He's going to bring you into remembrance of My ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now I got to thinking about that. I'd never noticed that before. But Paul said, I'm sending Timothy. He's faithful in the Lord. He's going to bring you into remembrance of My ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. My ways as they be in Christ. You say, what did Paul teach in all of these churches? Well, all you got to do is study Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Colossians and all the writings of the Apostle Paul. What did he teach in these churches? The one recurring theme that we find all the way through that Paul came back to over and over and over again. You know what he preached on over and over and over again? Something like this. He said, we all have a problem, and here's what it is. The manifestation of the self. The manifestation of our flesh life. That's what our problem is. He taught that in every church. If we could realize what Paul was talking about, that would help our churches more than anything else. Now, a lot of times in churches, here's how they deal with problems. Come out with a big long list of things, and they say, okay, we're not going to do this and this and this and this and this, and this is how you got to dress, and this is where you can go, and this is where you can get coffee, and this is where, you know, this is all the things that we're going to do. But the thing is, that list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, and after a while it's like Congress. You can't even remember everything on the list. And by the way, that never works. Here's what Paul taught. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you folks would learn that, I'm preaching really plain this morning. That'd take care of your flesh problems. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You want to know how to be a good Christian? That's what everybody's concerned with.
It's not, all right, I got to look, talk, go here, do this. Yeah, all that's important. But if we'd just be filled with the Spirit of God, that'd take care of. Be like Preacher Melvin said one time. He said, since I got saved, I can do anything I want to do. And I thought that's really odd for a preacher to say that. He said, but there's just things I don't want to do no more. I said, phew, he's all right. That's a long time ago when I first met him. Paul talked to the Galatians, wrote to them. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the key right there. That's the key. That is what Paul taught everywhere in every church. He said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. It's that you're living being guided by the flesh. But if you will learn what it means to die to yourself and live unto Christ, take care of your problems you got in the church. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul told them, he said, I die daily. This flesh thing never gives up. It never goes away. Paul said, I have to die daily. But think about it this morning. All of our problems in the church, all of the hurt that might go on, all of the problems that might go on, are simply a manifestation of the flesh life. Pride, jealousy, envy, fighting, bickering, on and on and on we could go this morning. It's all just a manifestation. I didn't get my way. I was slighted. I was not given my rightful place. It all stems from I. If we could just deal with I in the church would be heaven on earth. Nobody would ever get hurt in church. The preacher right on down. We were talking in Sunday school, and they were talking about problems in the church. You know, our lessons dealing with some of these things, and the churches in the Bible had problems in the church. But Brother Mike said, you know, you didn't have to have a large number of people to have problems. I pastored 3 churches. The most problems I ever had was in the smallest church. And they all stem from flesh. We had a couple that they were coming and they were visiting when I was out there. And one of my missionary friends got word that this couple was visiting our church. And he knew them. He had already had problems with them. He'd been out there a long time. He told me, he said, Brother Wynn, whatever you do, don't ever let them join your church. What a blessing. Wouldn't you love to have that reputation? I mean, he was serious about it too. Whatever you do, don't ever let them join. They came for a whole year, more than a year, acted the best. I mean, if I was giving out report cards on anything to do, I'd said A+. And they never mentioned joining for about a year. And then they come along, they said, we want to join. I didn't have I don't know if you can tell. I would now. Do you know within a month after they joined, they were causing problems? Flesh. It's flesh. If we could just understand what the Bible is teaching us about how to do this thing, we would come to the realization, I cannot please Christ in my flesh. I've got to die to self. That's what Paul taught in every church, in every place he went. That's what he preached on. You say, preacher, it seems like you preach on that a lot. Well, I'm getting my example from the Bible. Paul preached on that a lot. Paul realized if people could come to this truth, this great truth of the Bible, it would solve all the problems that churches have. More than anything else. That's why Paul preached on it so much. You ever studied Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8? It's a great passage of Scripture. You know what he deals with? That old man. That old man's not worth anything. That old man needs to die. That old man
needs to be crucified. He's talking about the flesh life. He's talking about that old man in chapter 7. I want to do right, but I can't. And what I would do, I don't do it. What's my problem? The old flesh. Old self. Then he gets into being led by the Spirit of God in chapter number 8. If you ever noticed that before, what did Paul, if Paul lived in our day and he came and preached revival, you know what I think he'd preach on all week long? Your flesh is killing you. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why you can't live for the Lord like you want to. That's what he preached on in the Bible. Church, help. Timothy, go down there to Corinth. That carnal bunch of childish Christians, they can't get along. They've got all kinds of problems, and it's stemming from their flesh. Study it out in the Bible. Church, help. There is help. You say, preacher, what can we do in this day and time? That right there is what we can do. There's church help. Praise the Lord for that. There's church harmony. Look in chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here in 1 Corinthians. This is the last thing. I know you lost an hour's sleep last night. Church harmony. There's got to be harmony in every church. If we do not have harmony, and this goes right along with what I was just preaching, but I want to show you how many times this comes up just in 1 Corinthians, not to mention the other churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Look what the Bible says. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Old Chloe told on them. Don't get into nothing around Chloe, she'll tell on you. You know, we got a Chloe. There are contentions among you. That means a quarrel. There's divisions among you. He said, speak the same thing, same judgment. Look over in chapter number 3, and verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Look at chapter 11, verse number 18. They had divisions. Chapter 11, verse number 18. Here he's talking to them about coming to the Lord's table. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Y'all can't get along. You're divided among yourselves. Look at chapter 14, verse 33. All these things tying together. Chapter 14, verse number 33. He said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Every church ought to be this way. There ought to be peace. There should not be confusion in the church. The New Testament churches did not spring from 50 different sources. They all sprang from the same source. Paul said, this is what I teach to every church in every place. They didn't have 50 different. They had one source. That source was the Word of God. All churches ought to spring and operate from the Word of God. They ought to be led by the Spirit of God. There ought to be unity. They ought to be all speaking the same thing and be of the same mind and the same judgment. That's what Paul said. He said, I teach this everywhere I go. In every church, I teach and preach these same things. They only had one source, the Bible, being led by the Holy Spirit, the apostolic preaching and teaching. That was the source. There should have been harmony in the church. And where problems came in was where everybody else started coming in. Remember in the book of Galatians, these people came along and they said, yeah, you talk about being saved, but you really need to keep the law. division that caused problems in the church. But as long as they stayed in the Bible, as long as they listened to the Holy Spirit of God and were led by the Spirit of God, there was peace and there was unity and there was revival and there were souls that were saved. But as soon as they got away from that, it messed everything up. Acts 9:31 said the churches were edified and walking together in the fear of the Lord. Edified means being built up. Acts 15:31 says the Apostle Paul, he went about confirming the churches. Chapter 16, verse number 5 said the churches were established in the faith. Do you know once upon a time in America, and this is not too long ago, but once upon a time in America, once upon a time in Britain, Wales, South Africa, any of the countries that experienced that revival of the early 1800s, the evangelical churches, now evangelical then, meant what we call today fundamental. The Bible-believing churches that believed in preaching the gospel into all the world, they were called evangelical churches. There were Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Christian Missionary Alliance churches, on and on and on. There were evangelical churches. And many years ago, if you'd have went to any of those churches, now think about this. The preacher stand up, preach, said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know what? They would have all had the same Bible on their lap. They all were speaking the same thing, had the same mind. Now they had little divisions among them, but they all had the same Bible. That is very important. Think about today. You go to most churches, none of them have the same Bible. I've had people tell me, older people, they say, you know, I got tired of trying to follow along with the preacher and I don't even bring my Bible anymore. I just shut it. Couldn't understand. Well, that's a shame. Everybody's got a different Bible. Do you know many years ago, if you'd have went to church and they'd have said, stand up and turn the page, they'd have all had the same hymn books. They were all singing Amazing Grace and they all sang the same songs. They all heard the same basic gospel message. They had the same morality. We don't even have that in churches now. There are things that were wrong. You know, they were all that way. Even the Episcopalians were that way. You read some of the old writers, and they all had a morality that came from the Bible and the Ten Commandments. And they said, you know, they called Sunday the Sabbath day, but they said we ought to honor the Lord's day. We shouldn't be playing cards and drinking wine and going to the theater. They just knew there were things that were... They even started at the same time. We don't have none of that today. I was talking with Abigail this past week and we had to go to the furniture store together and we had some time and we were riding and we were just talking about, you know, it's so hard to find a church. And I shared with her some of those things. I said, it's no wonder. It's no wonder they're all different. You don't find the same thing anywhere. That's a problem. It's a problem. God never meant it to be that way because if we all have the same Bible and we all have the same Lord, we all have the same desire, you ought to be able to find a church about anywhere you go. But people have a hard time finding churches because we're divided. We're divided on the most basic things. I'm talking about, we don't even have the same Bible. God is not the author of confusion. There must be harmony in the church. And if you study about the history of revivals, what you will find is that God works in a spirit of unity among God's people. I'm not talking about being ecumenical, which is all the churches, no matter what you believe about anything, let's all come together and work together. We can't do that. We've got to agree on this book. We've got to agree on the gospel. I'm talking about unity around the things of God, around the Bible. That's where God gives revival or has given revival in the past. He doesn't bless division. He's not in that. God's people got to come together in the church. And today we're divided as never before. I would encourage all of our young people, you know, if you've never been anywhere else, you've never looked for a church, you may not even understand what I'm talking about. But you young people, you need to really pay attention to what a Bible-believing church looks like. And if you move away and go away, find one. If you can't find one, start one. If you can't start one, move where there is one. Find one.
If I was moving, I would make sure there was a church where I was going. That's how important it ought to be. I don't want to move somewhere and find out there's nowhere to go to church. It ought to be very important in our lives. Well, I had five or six things I wanted to share about every church. I might continue on tonight. I had another thought also that I was thinking about, so I'm really just going to pray about it and see. But if I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17, I want you to see how important that is that every church be on the same page. Every church learn the same things. The Lord is for the church. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I'll close this morning, ask Brother Nathan to come and get us a song ready. I might close by saying just a little bit about, you may be here today. You may say, boy, I got problems. Well, I'll tell you what all of our problems is, old self. If we can deal with old self, we'll find our problems are not near what they were.